All right, so welcome to another edition of Illinois Family Spotlight. I am your host, David Smith, and today I am joined by a number of Gen Z, staff and volunteers for Illinois Family Institute. I've got Alyssa Sonnenberg, who is our communications director. We've got Jenna Smith, who is our financial and administrative assistant. And then we've got Noah Lee, who is joining us for the first time. And Noah is a high school student who is pretty good with speech and debate, and he's getting involved with IFI for right now and learning some ways to engage the culture, some new ways to engage the culture. How about that? All right. So today we're doing this Generation Z roundtable. We're hoping to make this kind of a monthly podcast. We want to be able to talk to Generation Zers, and well, I've got three of them with me today, and we want to talk about Pride Month, or maybe we should call it Fidelity Month. That is what a lot of governors, including our governor to our east, Governor Braun, has declared June to be Family Month or Nuclear Family Month. I think Tennessee has done it as well, and Arkansas has done it as well. We have Congressman Mary Miller from Illinois, who has introduced a resolution in Congress calling this Family Month as well. There's a little bit of a pushback to the Pride Month that we've been dealing with over the last several decades, at least. So I wanted to just throw this out to you, whoever wants to bite at this. You're part of a generation that has grown up with Pride Month. When I grew up, there wasn't Pride Month, but that came around probably in the 90s, maybe in the late 80s. So now we have rainbow logos and LGBTQ themes in entertainment, schools, and social media. How have you been shaped by this influence and your views on sexuality and quote-unquote identity? Alyssa, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I mean, for as long as I can remember, I mean, it was declared to be Pride Month in 1999, and I wasn't even a thought at that point with my parents. For as long as I can remember, June has always been Pride Month. However, it was never as blatant as when I got into high school. That's where I really noticed, and maybe it was just because I was getting older, more aware of my surroundings, more aware of these ideologies, but I felt like there was an intense push in, you know, 2016 and on, of this heavy inundation with this ideology, especially for kids. There was, you know, it used to be, you know, you just want adults to have their freedom to be with who they want, to love who they love. That's what we were told. But now we've seen, obviously, the more sinister intention of this ideology, that it's to confuse kids and get them into this system of dependence on the government, dependence on pharmaceuticals. And it has nothing to do with the safety or health of children. It seeks to destroy them. And so, again, you know, when I was in high school, I saw this big, massive push for people to be accepting. And I had a lot of my friends become really sensitive to the LGBTQ community and view them as victims, view them as a minority group. But then, you know, in the past couple years, I've also seen a massive shift away from Gen Z, from this ideology a bit, that Gen Zers are starting to wake up a little bit. And I think that's because of detransitioners like Chloe Cole and Camille Kiefel that are coming out and saying, hey, I fell for this as a young kid and now I regret it. And this is my story, especially when Camille Kiefel wins this massive lawsuit in her favor against her doctors. That, I think, is really shaking up Gen Z and how we view Pride Month.
Yeah, just not only just the money that they had to pay out, but also the agreement to start a clinic, if you will, for detransitioners, you know, to help them. It's interesting that you point out it was in the 90s that you became aware of it. There's a book, I don't know if you're familiar with this, called After the Ball, and it was written by public relations and media experts. This book was a game plan on how to advance the LGBTQ agenda. So that came out, according to what I'm reading here, in the 90s. It was published in actually 89. So that's when it became kind of popular. So Noah, let me ask you, do you believe the issue of sexuality and gender has become a defining cultural issue in your generation?
Definitely. I think One of the main things about the Pride community is, and just the leftist agenda in general, is the fact that everyone's looking for some sort of way to express their quote unquote identity.
Yep.
They think that's all that matters, right? That, you know, who they are, what their purpose is. People are struggling to find a purpose.
Yeah.
Right. But the truth is, the void in our hearts that we're looking for can really only be filled by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit. But people are looking to fill it with other things that really don't make sense, like gender identity, like other things, like sexuality. It's a distortion of truth. Who God created you biologically, that's important, but it's not the only thing that matters, and that doesn't define you. Yeah, I wasn't always like really into the political aspect of it, you know, but my dad raised me on strong theological foundations. Well, yeah, both my parents. I never gave it much thought until maybe I was like 13, 14. For the first time, I was downtown Chicago and I saw this big burly man, full beard and everything. And he was walking outside with some questionable clothing. And me and my brother were sitting in the back of the car staring out the window, looking at him, like just tracking. Like, we've never seen anything like that. And then my dad is like visibly like, we got to talk about it later. But then he told us he was like visibly praying. He's like, please don't let my boy see that. Like, you know.
No, that's a really good point, Noah. And I'm glad your dad took time to talk to you about afterwards, because we can't ignore this blatant disregard of God's design without it being addressed. And I love your point about identifying with Christ. You know, Christians, that's a constant struggle in the Christian life, is to identify with Christ and not with our own selfish passions and desires. The world would tell you this is how you need to identify to make yourself stand out. So, you know, Jenna, that the surveys, the polling out there says that Gen Z is far more likely than previous generations to identify as LGBTQ, and then it goes on, right? Why do you think that is?
I think that we're searching for our identity in a place that we cannot find it. According to a Gallup poll, though, recently, overall, the approval of the homosexual lifestyle and the homosexual agenda has gone down and is at its lowest since 2019, here in 2026. So even though a lot of our generation is struggling with this identity, a lot of them see it as, well, this is not okay. Especially, as Alyssa said, with the targeting of children, their agenda really, really came out very, very apparently. Everyone's okay with adults doing it, or it's more palatable when adults are doing it, saying, oh, I'm a consenting adult. I know what I do with my life. And this is America, so I get to decide what I want to do with my life. But then that's a huge difference when you're having, like Noah, you said, like a big burly man with clown makeup on and a wig on pretending to be a woman in front of 5-year-olds saying, oh, this is totally normal. Let me read you a kid's story.
Right. You're talking about drag queen story hour, right?
That's correct. Our generation definitely has an identity issue. And I think it really, really came to a head when Charlie Kirk was assassinated. A lot of us were really faced with the reality that this is not just a issue of you do what you want with your life. It doesn't really affect anybody else. No, it literally killed a man because he was standing up and saying, this is not right. This is not how God designed the world to work. So when a lot of our generation saw that, I think we were deeply shaken to our core because, well, we can't sit idly by anymore. The culture has shifted away from it, but there's still a huge identity issue in Generation Z. And honestly, all across the board.
Yeah. So you bring up a really good point, and maybe it's a topic for another day, but there is something called gay rage, number one. Number two, transgender hormone treatments or whatever it may be. There's some violence associated with transgenders these days. We've seen mass shootings by multiple transgender people. So that's another topic for another day. But
before we do move on from that, Alyssa and I had the opportunity to interview Dr. Greg Gifford, who's a biblical counselor from Santa Clarita, California. He's a teacher at the Masters University. And we actually brought up this question about violence and the transgender issue, because right as soon as we were interviewing him, that there was the case of the man who was identifying as a woman who went and shot up, I think it was a hockey game or a basketball game, specifically targeted his family. And we said, well, is there a correlation between this lifestyle and increased violence. And one of the things that he brought up is that's something that's very popular in the biblical counseling world, where it's the problem is not the problem. The heart is the problem. Right, so right. No matter what you identify as, murder comes from anger. And as fallen human beings, all of us are fully capable of doing the same thing if it weren't for the saving power of Christ. So let's not be saying like, oh, well, that obviously always leads to this. Yes, sin always leads to more sin. But at the same time, it's not the problem. It's the heart.
No, I totally agree with you. But there is a correlation with the lifestyle leading to more anger and bitterness because you're not doing what God's called you to do. It just like alcohol or even drugs can contribute to fatal accidents on the road. It's not always, but it's frequent. We have a few minutes left before I want to take a break. Okay, so Alyssa, how would you respond to somebody who says opposition to gender ideology is simply hatred towards LGBT people?
Yeah, I think we need to get our definitions right of what it means to hate someone and what it means to love someone, because when we look at how God designed our bodies, he designed our bodies with gender, which means gender is important to God. That when God designed human beings, he made them male and female. That's from the very beginning in Genesis. So for us to say that our bodies don't matter or they don't have any say in how we use them or how we operate them, especially when it comes to sexuality, is completely false. That God designed marriage to be between a man and a woman in a covenant. And so for us to encourage that idea and promote that idea and say that any other combination or any other lifestyle that is not in line with God's definition and function of our sexuality is not good, is Amen. Not hatred. It's actually love. Amen. Because, you know, we were just talking to Nancy Piercy about this, which, you know, you can find that episode on IllinoisFamilyAction.org under the Spotlight banner. We were just talking to her about this. That living in line with our biology is the most loving thing that we can do, the most loving thing that we can promote. So for same-sex people, you are actively opposing your biology when you are thinking that you're loving someone. And for you to say that you're hating me because you don't want me to love this person the way I want to love them is actually the most devastating thing that you can do for someone. And I mean, we can go into the statistics of, you know, STDs that are prevalent in the LGBTQ lifestyle, but that's just one issue. The core issue is that when we are not living in line with God's design for our sexuality, harm and devastation always occurs.
That's right, Alyssa. You know, they want to be affirmed in their sin, and it's not loving for us as Christians to say, hey, that's who you are. No, it's not right. So that's good. By the way, we love hearing your daughter in the background there. So it's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing.
She's always here. I always think of 1 Corinthians 13, where we are given the most beautiful definition of love possible. And one of the definitions is that love rejoices with the truth. It is never loving to affirm a lie. And I think that we can point simply to that scripture to back up our points on this.
Oh, that's a wonderful point to end this first part of the podcast with. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll pick up the conversation with the Gen Z Roundtable on Pride Month.
Rivers with rights? This is Ken Ham inviting you to visit our two attractions, the Creation Museum and Ark Encounter. Did you know in India there are two rivers given the same legal status as humans? In New Zealand, a 150-year debate ended when a river was finally named a legal person. In Ecuador, nature is represented in their constitution with certain rights. This silliness highlights the absurdity that results from a world in rebellion against the Creator. This kind of thinking ignores the uniqueness of mankind. We're special, made in the image of God, with unique rights and responsibilities, including dominion over the creation. Nature's important, and we're to steward it well, but a river's not a person.
Learn more about our life-size Noah's Ark and the world-class Creation Museum when you go to AnswersRadio.com.
This is an Illinois Family Institute, IllinoisFamily.org update.
Did
Did you know children with loving, involved fathers are more likely to thrive emotionally, succeed academically, avoid destructive choices, and grow into responsible adults? Decades of social science research confirm God's design for marriage, family, and children. Fathers matter. God calls fathers not only to protect and provide for their families, but to train their children in His truth and model what godly leadership looks like. Children need their dads, and strong fathers help build strong families. Strong families build strong churches, and strong churches build strong communities. Parents, grandparents, and church leaders must prayerfully recommit to upholding God's design for the family. We must encourage fathers to embrace their God-given call and build a legacy of faithfulness that will be passed on for generations to come. Visit IllinoisFamily.org. Okay, so welcome back to the second half of the podcast. I am joined today by Alyssa, Noah, and Jenna. They are our Generation Z roundtable panel, and we're talking Pride Month. And maybe we should talk about Fidelity Month. But since the LGBTQIA+++ agenda has had such an influence in our culture over the past several decades, since the 90s, we really do need to talk this through. I'm going to turn to Noah and ask you if you know of what your thoughts are. Are younger conservatives more hesitant to speak publicly about these issues, about how it's affecting our culture, than maybe my generation or older generations of conservatives?
I think first and foremost, especially for younger people, it's really easy to, even if you identify with the conservative movement, it's very easy to see like liberal arguments on like a surface level and think they sound good. It's all, you know, love is love. We're loving people and stuff like that. And even people that would call themselves conservatives, they would struggle to speak against that because it sounds good on the outside. Additionally, there is a big problem of this on the left where people don't actually know how to substantiate the argumentations, which is why I can't find a single logical consistency in liberal, you know, logic. Their consistency is just not logical ones.
It's emotional. It's more emotional.
Yeah. In terms of whether people are more likely to speak out against it, I think... Yeah, where I was going with that is you may know one thing is true, like, you know, everything should be based off the Bible, or, it, you know, it's wrong to be homosexual, or this is a, you know, there are sodomic practices and things like that. But sometimes people leave it at that and say, you know, that makes sense, but they don't dig deeper into the why, and that makes it difficult for them to speak out against it. In terms of how willing they are to speak against it, I think conservatives are more likely to stand on business and know what they're talking about than liberals.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, let me ask you a follow-up question on that real quick, Noah. Jenna brought up the fact about Charlie Kirk being assassinated. In the wake of that horrific incident, do you think your generation is more willing now to engage and be bold on cultural issues in general, but even about family? In the biblical design for family?
I think so. And there's actually a couple things about that. I think debate is becoming a lot more prevalent when it comes to the younger generation with thought leaders such as Charlie Kirk and Dean Withers. When Charlie Kirk was assassinated, he sparked a lot of debate among the communities. Most notably, I think Dean Withers, who was known to be one of Charlie's biggest haters, he even empathized with Charlie. And that probably changed a lot of minds within his community and within the TPUSA community as well. And the other thing is, in terms of whether people are changing their minds on family values and things, there was I wrote this in part of the article. There was a poll done with over 2,000 young men, and basically, like, what are their thoughts on marriage? What are their thoughts on fatherhood? Yep. And it turns out there does seem to be an uprising in, you know, to start families and things like that. And I think that's a really big blessing. And, you know, we're praying and hoping that continues to skyrocket.
That's right. Well, you know, there's a reason why the Apostle Paul in his epistles has encouraged Christians to build one another up, number one. And then in Hebrews, it talks about stir one another up to love and good works. And we want to be the salt and light of a community. We want to be overcoming evil with good. And we can't do that if we remain silent. So it's a big part of it. Speaking of which, I want to ask Jenna, if you could say one thing, okay, to Christian young people who feel alone because they hold to traditional biblical beliefs. I don't know if you've ever felt alone, but what would you tell young people today, Christian young people?
I would say get involved with the local body of Christ, a Bible-believing church, because we were not meant to do this life alone. And that is the way God has provided us to not feel alone, to be edified and encouraged. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 explicitly states it. It's not an encouragement. It is a command to meet often with the local body. Not only that, but there are so many other ways that you can get involved and find connection and community. Like, for example, in the Chicagoland area, we have a group that IFI has been promoting recently, especially for Generation Z, called Social Lights. Our entire goal is to create fellowship for people who don't know where to find it.
Be intentional is what you're saying.
Be intentional. There are so many options out there. Prager University has this program where you can meet with other conservatives in your area. They have chapters. Turning Point has chapters, not only collegiate chapters, but high school chapters for you. And they also host events, multiple areas where you can get involved and meet like-minded people. There's also conferences you can attend that you can find people.
Let me turn to Alyssa right now and ask you. On Facebook the other day, just within the last few days, I saw the White Sox. I'm a Southsider. I'm a White Sox fan. They were celebrating Pride. And they were not just flying the LGBT flag, they were flying the flag that included the transgender symbol. And it really broke my heart. Now, I suppose I really shouldn't make a dichotomy there between the LGBT flag and the LGBT trans flag, but it really bothered me a lot. So when you, Alyssa, see major corporations, professional sports groups, schools, and government agencies, by the way, the Capitol has the LGBT flag in Springfield flying over it. What goes through your mind?
My immediate thought is that transgender symbol specifically of that light blue, that baby pink, is specifically regarding children. So my immediate thought whenever I see that flag is the victimization of children. And as a mom, that just makes me so angry. I don't have words to use to really describe how angry I am at the prospect of sexualizing kids. And, you know, I was on Point of View last Thursday, and my co-person that I was doing radio with wrote a, I guess you could say, a report on Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood is largely becoming the number one provider of cross-sex hormones for minors. And in addition to this, they are increasingly becoming the leading provider of sex ed curriculum for kids as young as 3 years old. And I don't have a three-year-old yet, but I do have friends that have three-year-olds. And for an organization, a corporation, for government entities, for the Sox, for any entity to look at children and say, yes, we need to promote and encourage kids to question their sexuality, to question the goodness of their body, is just the most disgusting form of dehumanization that I can think of. And, you know, it goes against everything that I think adults are wired to do, that God has given us the natural instinct to protect kids, especially our own, but kids in general. Societies generally have a bent to protect women and children. And we've seen with this movement that that has gone straight out the door, that instead of protecting kids, they want to sexualize and dehumanize them.
Absolutely right. And your point about Planned Parenthood is, boy, it gets you angry. Not only have they been destroying human lives for decades now, but now they are trying to damage those who did escape abortion so that they can't reproduce in the future and then mislead others. I mean, how more demonic can it be? Noah, let me ask you a question. We've got only a couple questions left for you and Jenna, and then we'll close it. Those who advance this agenda see it as a celebration of inclusion and acceptance. We at IFI and IFA see it as a political and ideological movement intentional movement. How do you see it?
What are we taught? There's something we're taught when we're really young, you know, as Christians, and I think in general as a moral thing. And that is, like, if you're stronger than somebody, you got to use your strength to protect them, and you can either use your strength to protect them or you can use your strength to mislead them. What we're seeing here is people have a lot of power, a lot of influence, and they're targeting young kids. And then what does the Bible say about that, right? Yeah. You know, it's better for a millstone to be tied around your neck for you to be tossed into the sea, you know, if you mislead these children. In terms of how I see it, it is not a movement of acceptance. It's a movement of, it's a very dangerous movement of pure affirmation. And that's a distortion of what they think love is. A lot of leftist argumentation is a distortion of a good thing. One of those things is love, and that's one of their primary things on their agenda. But all it is pure affirmation. You know, if probably one of the most commonly used examples, I'm going to bring it up again. You know, if you have a little child that wants to touch the stove, right, while it's burning hot,
right.
Do you just encourage your child to touch the stove, or since you love your child, you don't want them to hurt themselves, and so you tell them to not? So it's not acceptance, it's not love, it's misleading, and
yep,
it's very, very detrimental.
Well, and to that point, you know, it's apt what you say about, you know, touching a hot stove. Straying from God's design on sex often leads to painful situations, and I'm talking about health situations, whether it's HIV or AIDS or any other sexually transmitted disease. If you stick with his design, God's design, abstinence until marriage and monogamy thereafter, guess what? You will never get burned on that hot stove. So, and that's the loving message that we need to be sending the culture. God's design, God's standards, God's ways leads to human flourishing. But okay, Jenna, I'm going to close it out with this question for you. 20 years from now, when we look back at this cultural moment, what do you hope they say about how we or your generation responded?
I hope that there are enough Dietrich Bonhoeffers and young people that form White Rose resistances that will stand up and will be lauded as heroes come 20 years from now. I don't know what God has in store for us. I don't know what his plan is for our nation, but I know that his will is always sovereign, and his eternal plan, as Ali Beth Stuckey says, is going off without a hitch. So I have full and complete trust and faith in what he has in store for us. Oh. And not only that, but I'm just encouraged. Alyssa and I were talking about this recently, how Pride Month is not as in our face as it used to be. And I do think that is because there is a cultural shift away from the depravity of this sin, especially the more blatant it gets, the more obvious they get with not hiding what it actually is, without sugarcoating it, the more people are shocked and don't want anything to do with it. For example, Noah and I were on radio on WPEO this morning talking about HelloFresh, which is a food company that they decided to have this horrendous, horrendous ad celebrating Pride Month and going against God's design. And it shocked the majority of their base to the point where a lot of them are now unsubscribing.
Yep.
That's a huge cultural shift away. As in, right. Like, remember 2018, 2019, when everything was bedecked in rainbows? Like, Target actually went too far with that. Remember talking about that with their transgender clothing line for children. Now Target is having...
Even before that, remember Chick-fil-A? Chick-fil-A stood up for marriage as one man, one woman. And then the LGBT crowd said, we're gonna boycott that. And what did Christians do? I think it was Governor Mike Huckabee or somebody like that who said, let's do a boycott, and designated a certain day. And remember standing in line, Jenna? Stood in line to get Chick-fil-A that day.
And Chick-fil-A prospered because of that. It's one of best brands now of fast food in the United States.
But it's known as God's chicken.
Amen. But I also wanted to say that look at Target today. Daily Wire had an article on it saying that June is now a different flag month for Target. They're promoting the American flag. They're promoting the 4th of July like crazy. It's like a little tiny, tiny little alcove of their store now that is dedicated to rainbows and everything. Everything else is red, white, and blue. The culture is shifting. And God willing, 20 years from now, we are going to see a God-honoring nation that is looking back saying, we are glad that people were standing up.
That is so cool. Hey, listen, guys, I am so proud of you guys. You guys are rooted deeply in the Word, and you have wisdom and discernment beyond many in your generation. So I hope you guys continue to be salt and light, because this is the only way that God is going to get glory. We need to be in the vine and producing sweet fruit for His glory. We also need to be teaching the world. I call it the disciple mandate. Some people call it the Great Commission, but I say the disciple mandate requires us to teach the world all that He has taught us, observe it. So keep going, guys. Thank you for your work. And I hope you enjoyed, listeners. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. We're going to hopefully have this as a regular feature on this podcast. So God bless. And until next time, stay informed, stay rooted in your Word, stay plugged into your church, and love your family.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.